happened, part two, people. Oh, we got a flaming part two coming up.
Oh. Flaming.
We're going high, we're going low.
When they go low, we go high.
No, when we go low, you go low. You go low with us. But we're not going too low. Not yet, anyway. Thought we went pretty low last night. We're over 3 hours. We had a great show last night.
Oh.
Had some good feedback today.
Oh,
people
really?
Dug that show. It was a good show.
That was pretty good.
4 days off will do that, though. You have so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't had my stroke yet.
So that stroke has hit you hard.
It really, it's rough. I just can't comprehend anything. I can't remember anything, and I can't comprehend anything.
Well, there's nothing really going on today, so nothing to comprehend.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be over it tomorrow. I've made pretty quick recoveries from my stroke, amazingly.
Heroes do.
That's what they do. We're going out to California, folks. Go to the Joshua Tree, where, you know, of all the bar dive concerts by big bands, this is definitely one of the coolest I've ever heard of. Paul McCartney, who never plays anything but a giant venue once in a while. Played for a couple thousand people when he put out the new album. But the problem was he played the new album. Nobody wanted to hear the new
gross
song.
No, never.
He played a couple oldies at the end, but he played at Covent Garden, which is where I was in London when the guy asked me to try on the top I was looking at. And I liked the shirt, but I was like, top? What do you mean top? I said, is this for girls? And he goes, no, but it's a top. It's not a top. It's a shirt.
Top.
And we got done arguing about that. I actually bought the shirt, but I rarely wear it because I think of it as a top every time I see it.
I like that you called him out on it, too.
Well, I didn't know he was talking. I thought he was talking to somebody else or something. I was like, top?
There's jumper. No women in here. Jumper. Trainers. Do you sell you some trainers, too?
I know. Trainers. Why do they call them trainers?
I have no idea.
Where'd you hear that term for the first time, by the way?
Trainers?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know.
I know exactly where I heard it the first time.
Really? Where?
The movie As a Boy with Hugh Grant.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Oh, he buys the boy trainers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I thought it was like trainers. Is that what they call shoes?
I think I've heard it in a song. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're sneakers. Okay, hmm. Tennis shoes.
Okay, hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, Pappy and Harriet's is the bar, and that's who we're calling. Two guys who honestly sounded like they kind of bumped into the show. I don't know how they got tickets, but they're in their mid-20s, and I'm not sure that they really were even
they're from
Paul
Joshua
McCartney
Tree.
Fans.
They're from where he played, right?
Yeah, just, yeah. They're from Joshua Tree.
And you're saying this place is huge?
No, it's just a dive bar.
Kind of like
chicken wire?
That's all I could think about.
Oh, from
the Blues Brothers.
They play two kinds of music there, country and western.
Kind of like that movie. Were you a Blues Brothers fan?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it. We're on a mission from God. And actually, you know what? The albums weren't that bad either, considering John Belushi was the lead singer.
I just liked Aretha's performance in the movie.
Think.
Yeah, and James
Is this Jaime or Mario?
Yeah, it's both of us.
Whoa! Guys, how you doing? It's Drew and Mark.
Really good. How are you?
We're calling you from our broadcast in Michigan, and we understand you guys were very, very lucky last Thursday night and got to see Paul McCartney at Pappy and Harriet's.
Yeah, it was, we were the lucky, one of the lucky 300, two of the lucky 300, I guess.
How'd you get the tickets?
We ditched work.
Really? Now, what's this job that you're able to ditch?
I do construction. I was probably working, just doing remodels. So I told the client I wasn't going to be able to show up, and she totally agreed with me.
Oh, she said you got to go see Paul McCartney?
Yeah, I think that'd be an excused absence. It's once in a lifetime.
Now, did
right?
you have a guaranteed space in line, or were you rushing to get to the front of the line at that very moment? Because I would have thought, you know, if once I heard about it, there's no way there'd be too many people in line.
Well, actually, from like, when we heard the news right around noon, we got over there as fast as we could because they said that they couldn't start an official line, so we kind of started the unofficial line.
Right. Oh,
because we couldn't be on the perimeter as long as until 3 o'clock. So as soon as 3 o'clock rolled by, we'd already been in line. They walked us over to the door to avoid people getting trampled and stuff.
Wait, don't tell me you guys were numbers 1 and 2 in line.
No, actually, we were like probably number 8 or 9.
Oh, that's
like 13 or 14.
You know, and you guys are young guys. How old are you?
Mario's 26 and I'm 25.
Now, are you guys big Paul McCartney fans? I would think you would have barely heard any of his music.
Well, when we were kids, we there's a radio, a local radio station, and they'd give away like these like kids recordings of like the Beatles. So we were like in elementary school, and we would win like the morning shows like every other week, and so we had this like really cool collection of the Beatles, like kids singing
Mark, the prize
like
pigs.
Octopus's Garden and Ooh La Dee Ooh La Da, and you know stuff like that. And yeah, I mean the Beatles are sort of a staple to everyone, you know.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And what about Paul McCartney's music? Do you know much of his music, too, or just the Beatles?
Oh, actually, I just found out probably about 3 weeks ago that he sang Band on the Run. I mean, I knew the song, and I knew that he had been doing a lot of solo work, but my brother and I kept time up. We were driving back from L.A., and I was listening to Radio 4 on BBC World Service, and they had, like, this master tape. So I looked it up online when we got home, and sure and behold, you know, Paul McCartney has a 45-minute, you know, interview and video of, you know, of, and they're just talking to him, and he said when he wrote Band on the Run, and as soon as I figured that out, you know, I was like, wow. Well, I mean, I guess there's fantastic songs of him that we've both heard throughout our lives, but we sort of didn't realize it were Paul McCartney, you know?
And he played Band on the Run, right, at this little show?
Yeah.
Now, how crazy was this scene to get in line? I mean, once you guys got there, I guess you knew you were in pretty good shape. But, I mean, how nuts was it? Were people driving up there a million miles an hour, and were people getting in fights and stuff?
No, I think it was, you know, everybody was pretty well behaved. But there was a point where it almost, you know, it was about an eighth of an inch from total havoc.
It was almost there at that point.
Now, did anybody maybe who was at the end of the line come up and go, hey, I'll buy your spot in line for $1,000.
There was a guy at the very end. He's like, dude, I'll give you $300 right now. I'm like, $300? Dude, for all the money in the world.
And actually, I never thought about selling. Like, the concept of, you know, exchanging money for concert tickets never ever came into my mind. But when he said that, I sort of started thinking, like, what would be considerable amounts of money that people would be willing to pay?
Yeah, everybody has a price.
Yeah, what was your price?
And I sort of said, I thought about $10 million, and I told myself, and I told the people, I honestly felt, you know, sure when I said that there was no doubt in my mind that I wouldn't do it for $10 million. And then I thought about it again, and I was like, yeah, I probably wouldn't even do it for all the money in the world, because the chances of Paul McCartney showing up in your backyard and you playing,
but if
you know, him playing to 300 people. And
well, I mean, he actually rolls up a Brinks truck with $10 million, and you look in the back, and there's those $100 bills.
$10 million, you could probably hire Paul to play for just yourself for a couple million.
Yeah, but it's sort of just like the chances of a miracle. You know?
He might not be available, Mark. He might not have an open date for these guys.
I'll raise it another million.
Well, that's good to hear. I like to hear that rock and roll spirit in young guys like you. But anyway, so you said it was like an eighth of an inch for going crazy. What was the point where it almost went crazy, when all hell broke loose?
Well, right when, because the thing was, there was two different lines. Like, we had started our line, like, you know, like maybe, and we were right off the property. So,
yeah,
we were there, and we started seeing, like, about an hour later, you know, of course, people were waiting in line, so you get to know everybody while you're waiting in line. And we saw another line forming, like, down the road, and they were right across the street from the actual venue. And, of course, security had seen us. We'd been there longer, so they're like, oh, hey, you know, well, what are we going to do? Is this going to be a free-for-all and everybody runs? Is people going to get trampled? What's going on? They're like, no, we're actually going to walk you guys because you guys were here first. So, like, when we were rounding around the corner to the actual venue, to the actual line, like, when the other line came into our line and there was a third line that we didn't know about.
Oh, boy.
They all came together, and it was just like, I mean, we were in, but I'm like, man, I really hope somebody does not get trampled.
But we ended up getting selected anyways, because while we were waiting in line, Paul McCartney's head of security walked up to our line, and he's in his thick Scottish accent. He's like, so we're not gonna have any problems, he says, and he says, you guys are the line that we're walking up to the door. So we sort of became the unofficial line of the
sweet.
Now,
the show, so that was pretty awesome.
I read that they actually had merchandise and they had special shirts made up.
Oh yeah.
So did you just buy as many as you can to sell some?
I walked over, I had gone to the bathroom and I saw them, and on the way back I picked up two shirts. One for Jaime and one for me, and it said, lo and behold, it says, Paul McCartney at Pappy and Harriet's Pioneer Town Palace, and on the back it has Thursday, October 13th.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So you didn't think of buying, like, five more?
No, I did. You know what? At the time, I don't think I thought of anything else except for the fact that we were right on the rail, about 10 feet. We were going to be about 10 feet away from Paul McCartney, and I didn't think about it at all.
Wow. Well, you know, excuse me, the tickets were only $50, right?
Yeah.
Wow, $50 to be that close to Pomona. What's, I mean, how big is this bar, by the way?
Well, it's capacity 300.
Wow.
So it's, I'd probably say about maybe 25 feet wide, but the amount, you know, the area where people tend to stand is probably no bigger than like 15 feet deep. So you're looking at something like 25 feet by 15 feet.
Wow. How'd they get 300 like people in there? I mean, it looks small. I'm looking at a picture now. And I guess you get, I mean, you certainly couldn't get many more than that.
No, well, I'm sure, but they had firefighters, and I'm sure Paul McCartney's tour, you know, didn't want to, like, break any laws. I mean, there was hundreds of people standing outside of the venue in the dirt road listening from outside, so. But we saw the fire trucks. But they, you know, it's something that I don't think Paul McCartney's crew wanted to have any issues with, so.
No, of course not. So what did you open the show with? What was the first song? You remember offhand? Was it Hard Day's Night, I think?
Hard Day's Night was the second one. I don't quite remember the first one.
I think it's a Wing song. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's like, I'm not much. I've always told my brothers, and I guess in the last sense, you know, I don't think I've had enough time in my life yet to sort of work my way through all the Beatles and stuff. And all McCartney stuff, you know.
Okay, how about this? What was your favorite song of the night?
My favorite song of the night? Mine?
Yeah.
Mine was Band on the Run, and I would... Actually, probably Ubla Di Ubla Da was just the way, you know, you wouldn't expect it, and it just sort of came in, and I'm sure it's never been played as funky as it was played at Pat and Harris. It was just so funky.
And how about Mario, that was Jaime, right?
No, this was Mario.
Oh, Mario, okay, how about Jaime, how about you?
I think, man, honestly, Hard Day's Night, when that first chord hit, it was just like, all right, here we go. And then, you know, obviously, and, you know, the best version of Hey Jude I've ever heard, you know, you never expect yourself to be a part of one of the people singing that. But when you are, it's just, you feel the magic in the air. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I'm sure everybody sang along.
It was insane.
I forgot what song it was. There was one song where everyone is singing, and it's hard to hear the band.
All right, did you guys have your cell phones out, and how much of the show did you film?
I actually gave my cell phone up about a year ago,
what?
And Jaime only has a flip phone.
What?
So
wow,
we didn't have.
What kind of millennials are you?
There. I'm 20. I work construction, and I don't want like clients because they're not actually clients.
That makes
and
sense.
They're actually my boss's clients, but I'm sort of like his translator, and they. I wouldn't ever fall asleep if I had my own phone.
So how many people were there? I mean, was it just a sea of cell phones filming it though?
Well, we couldn't see because we were right up in the front, so it's like
we were right on the rail.
That was the snobbiest thing you've ever said.
Right on the rail, man, and I know what he's talking about. There is a rail about 5 feet from McCartney. I was surprised the crowd was as close to him as they were, really.
And you certainly could never turn around during the show to check out
how who was going to turn around?
Yeah, no, right, of course. Yeah, not even before the encore.
Hey, Jay, bring the
set. they made it a point, and it sort of, cell phones were sort of like an issue that night, I think.
Oh, really?
I saw... head of security, the guy who walked us over, I saw him like signaling to people to put their phones down because
Good.
They told us when we were going to come into the show, they're like, if we see anybody recording extensively or, you know, like say if you were live feeding or something, that they were going to confiscate cell phones. And so, you know, but like I said, it never really was an issue for us.
I got the set list here. Before I read the set list, though, was there a bathroom song? Was there actually a song where you said, I gotta take a whiz and I hate this song, so I'm going to go now
and
buy
even,
your
man.
T-shirts?
We prepped. I think we got in about, we got into the venue at about 5:45, 6 o'clock, and we took care of the business then, and we just held out till 10 o'clock.
Wow. Were you guys drinking beers?
No. I think if you try to go out for a drink, you wouldn't be able to get your spot back.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's like New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I'd have to, Times Square with all the jars of urine by people's
feet.
Yeah,
I'd hate to live. I don't think I'd be able to get through my life telling myself that I miss staying in the front row to Paul McCartney's show to go grab a drink, you know?
Hey, guys, glad you had such a great time, and thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Pleasure.
Have a good one. Hi, me.
All right, you guys.
Don't get a phone, man. That's great. I love some millennial without a phone. That's fantastic.
All right,
thanks, Mario.
See you, bud.
Okay. Right. Hey there.
Hi, Mario.
Hi, me and Mario.
Bye-bye. That's pretty cool. Cool cats, man.
Yeah, good guys. Definitely nice guys. Jake, can you bring up that set list again?
Yep.
That's funny. I was looking at the set list, too, but then I decided to see who else has been playing at Pappy and Harriet's.
Oh, who else has played there? Anybody big?
Jim James played September 28th, whoever that is. I don't know that. I don't even know who that is. Sloan played there. Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet played there. And that those are the guys that did the theme song to Kids in the Hall.
Dun, wow. Dun, 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 never dun, heard dun, of them. Dun, dun.
You know that song, though, right?
Yeah, song. I know the song.
Mudhoney played there. So that's,
oh, Mudhoney. That's pretty big. Yeah.
The Melvins played there, so it's not
well,
as...
the Melvins played
it's
there.
Not as much of... I mean, that was last
it sounds
year.
Like a cool place to play, actually.
It's like they get one or two big names a year, it seems like.
But, you know, a lot of people would say, you know, wouldn't
Babes
it be cool to play...
Toyland.
Wouldn't it be cool to play yeah. Joshua Tree, you know? Because so many things have happened at Joshua Tree. That's where Graham Parsons' body was burned. You know, when they, that famous story, they stole his body from the casket.
Yes.
Who's that? Phil, what's his face? The manager for Motley Crue. And you know that guy?
Yeah.
The gray haired manager, crazy guy. Phil, I was going to say Phil Knight. Phil Kaufman.
What I remember
Phil
of
Kaufman.
It,
it's definitely Phil Kaufman.
I believe.
I'm recovering from my stroke already.
Oh, Larry King went to the bathroom, by the way. He's not in his seat.
We got the Cubs game on behind home plate. Is Larry King next to Mary Hart?
Mary Hart, I can't stop looking at him. But remember the Sonic Highway documentary
yes.
series?
Yeah, that was great.
When they did L.A., they went out into the desert. They went out to Joshua Tree, because I believe it's Josh Homme.
That's right. Yeah.
Lives out there.
He was at the show.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, he saw McCartney. Do you think he waited in line?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hard Day's Night was the opener. And then he played Save Us from, I think that's the last album, Junior's Farm.
Well, there's your bathroom song right off the
yeah,
bat.
Yeah, take a quick trip there. Junior's Farm, great track. I love that from Wings. That's an early Wings song. Can't Buy Me Love, Let Me Roll It. I've Got a Feeling from the Beatles, one of my
Sweet.
Favorite Beatles songs. My Valentine, there's another bathroom song for you. 1985, the song Mark did not know.
But I do, but I know. I didn't know, but I know.
We Can Work It Out. I've Just Seen a Face. I Can't Forget song. The Time or Place We First Met. Just a girl for me. What scene we met. Ooh. Love Me Do. Queenie Eye. What's, another
I
Beatles song.
That.
It's a new song. Actually, I don't mind that song.
A new song?
Yeah. From the new album, 2013 or whatever. Lady Madonna.
I like that song.
That's a great song. Obla Dee Blah 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 Da. Letting Go. That's a Wing song. Day Tripper. Band on the Run, Back in the USSR, and
Sweet.
Hey Jude. And then they did three encores.
It's pretty cool.
High, High, High from Wings. That's a great encore. I think he was avoiding that for a while because he was considered such a stoner, but he's come back to it. Birthday, and I Saw Her Standing There. Great rapper.
Can I ask your opinion on Birthday?
You know what? It's kind of a rocker. It's kind of a, it's got a drum solo in it.
Mm-hmm.
They probably like playing it, but no, it's not.
Don't you wish the lyrics were different?
Yeah, it's okay. A birthday song. I mean,
kind of
a throwaway.
Isn't that why they wrote it, though, or no?
Yeah, it was somebody's birthday, actually, when they wrote it. They wrote it in one night, and they actually did the session that night, and they brought in people from outside to sing backup on it, people who were fans who were outside the studio.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, anyway, not a bad gig. Yeah, I wonder where Jaime and Mario are in that group.
I'm looking at the. Hi, Mario.
I'm looking at the.
I bet you they look exactly the same because they sounded exactly the same, didn't they?
God, that's a great picture. Wow. From the front page of the. It's front of the section in the LA Times. McCartney's playing his bass. He's facing the camera. And you can see the barrier and the people who are just crushed coming over the barrier.
Did you.
People of all ages, too. It's all over the map.
Did you laugh when he started talking about the two lines?
Yes. Mark, that was when we were off the air, right? Between
yes,
the,
it was
the
between
cast.
Part one and part two.
Mark was reading a review.
Larry King's back in his seat.
Mark's reading reviews for Pappy and Harriet's, looking for some one-star reviews to read. And he stumbles into an angry person.
Yeah, let me find that one. I've been going to Pappy and Harriet's for many years now. The food and service is okay, but management regarding entertainment is not.
Ugh!
Recently, they posted on their website that Paul McCartney would be playing there that night and that tickets would be sold only on site. Driving from the L.A. area, which how far of a drive is that to Joshua Tree?
Who knows?
We got
there. You know, if you were like an hour or even 40 minutes away
bother?
From the outset, no way.
I wouldn't either.
I would never expect to get a ticket.
But the brothers brought up a good point, though. If you sat outside, you could still hear the show.
Yeah, true.
So that might not be so bad. I mean,
it might be
risk
a little heartbreaking to know that you're you know, 20 feet from seeing him.
Sure, but you don't, you know.
Yeah, if you can't get in, though, yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be okay.
We were directed to a place approximately a quarter of a mile away to line up for ticket purchase when they go on sale. We were somewhere around number 120 in line, and we were assured by staff that if we followed their rules and remained orderly, we'd be able to get tickets no problem, as they were selling approximately 300.
Jay just looked up the distance, by the way.
Oh, yeah, how far?
128 miles.
Well, okay.
But so, a 2 hour and 47 minute drive, right?
And that's not factoring in traffic.
How far?
An hour 57 without traffic, but they said normally 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Oh, boy.
So that guy was really, I mean, to think he was going to get a ticket, he was nuts.
As the line grew after an hour or so, still he was number 120 in line.
That's amazing. I don't know how he did that.
We noticed they were allowing another line to be formed right next to the venue. We were told that we were.
I mean, Mario.
I know, that's what I thought.
They started it.
We were told that we were in the proper line and that those people would not be allowed.
Until the guy with the Scottish accent showed up.
And I guarantee you, they told that line that they were in the right line and you guys would not be allowed. Also, for some reason, they made a point of telling us that when the ticket office opened, they would escort us, and running was forbidden.
Running was forbidden.
I know. We were to walk.
They mentioned running, though. Those guys did.
They did, yeah. We were to walk slowly and in single file to the ticket office, or they would throw us out. Throw you out of what?
You're outside the place. They can't throw you out.
You out of the city. Well, time came for the office to open, and as we walked, we could see the other line running to the office.
Oh, my God. They're not supposed to run.
They all got tickets, and the people waiting in line got screwed.
We were walking and following the rules.
I suspected this other line that they allowed to be formed were a select group that intended to be the recipient of tickets, and our line was allowed to remain for photo ops and other media purposes.
It was a conspiracy. It was rigged.
A rigged concert.
This reminds me of the way part one people look at part two people. Part two people look at part one people.
Very divisive.
So shitty.
This is the most disgraceful display of fraud I've ever seen in all my years of ever going to see live entertainment, even though I've been a customer of theirs for years. I will never return to this establishment, and I would tell my story to as many that will listen. I kind of want to contact him to let him know that we told the story for him.
Not only did he not get a ticket, but he was used for photo ops for the media.
You're a media pawn.
How brutal.
Matthew S. of Corona, California.
He was a tool.
There's another one that got 3 stars. Listen to this dick. I liked it better before it was popular and trendy.
Oh, granted, you mean 5 days ago?
Yeah, exactly. When it was mostly locals and a few clutch visitors.
What an asshole.
It was just an amazing local secret. Now people come from all over. And it's the kind of people one moves to Pioneer Town to avoid and eliminate from their life in the first place.
He's talking about the Coachella people who were there for 2 weeks.
It's often difficult to gain space from the herd, and P&H used to be an oasis, but now it's just another trendy spot. Good for P&H owners and staff, but bad for those who like hidden gems and avoiding the herd. One observation. The food seems to be sliding in quality, and the staff isn't as friendly.
Oh, in 5 days.
It's a bummer.
In 5 days, the whole operation completely changed.
It's just gone corporate, man.
Oh, people. People. They're like the people who, they love bands until they become popular. Like, oh, man, I hate them now that they're popular. Now everybody knows about them. Everyone likes them.
Here's 1 star from Reed in Seattle. Wouldn't it be nice of the management of Pappy and Harriet's to have made it known to the public before we drove over 100 miles round trip that they were closed on a Thursday because Sir Paul McCartney decided to play there? And worse yet, we were not given an opportunity and or the information he was playing there to purchase a ticket. It's one of those people that they didn't know, so it's unfair, even though they made it as public.
Even though everyone else found out.
Yeah, no one else had a problem. We thought this
was rigged. Rigged again. Everything is rigged.
The situation was quite odd. Our guests wanted to go there, who are rarely in this part of the world. We go and we're informed that this is a private event. So we leave. We wish we would have called, but we did look at the website, which clearly stated Thursday was an open day.
Stop whining.
They could have stood outside and listened to the show.
I know. Now, see, most of these are all before.
They're wiener friends. Is there a 1 star from pre-Paul McCartney?
No. No, most of it is five stars. People love this place. It was a gem before all the tourists got there. Ruined it. Wow, I kind of want to go now, right?
I kind of want to go, too, now that all those scummy locals aren't hanging out there.
Here's one from 2010. One star. Can anyone say overrated? This is not authentic at all. First of all, it's a Hollywood tacky remake of an old saloon.
Wait, authentic what?
Authentic at all.
Authentic what?
Well, it's a Hollywood tacky remake of an old saloon. Second, the bartender was basically rude, not giving us salad dressing, not asking us how our food was. Fucking baby.
Oh, God, what a child.
Not even asking us if we wanted another drink.
Actually, I find it annoying when they ask me how my food is. Like, look, I'm eating it, okay? I mean, yeah. What are you going to do? I'm not going to reorder.
I'll let you know if it sucks.
Exactly.
It does suck, though, if they didn't ask if they wanted another drink, right? I mean...
Well, and depriving them of salad dressing, that was terrible. Apparently not being willing to ever give them salad dressing is what it sounds like.
The crowd was completely unfriendly with the maitre d'. This place is a maitre d'.
Wait, the crowd was what?
Completely unfriendly with a maitre d' who refused to even give us a time frame on when we could be seated.
Oh, my God.
Though many tables were left empty in the whole time we were there. This is an overrated, homogenous, totally not worth it spot. Homogenous? That's usually a major complaint about places.
Homogenized, I think he meant.
He wrote homogenous.
Homogenous, yeah. Could that be...
H-O-M-O-G-E-N-E-O-U-S. Am I mispronouncing it?
No.
Here's another one from 2010. One star. I don't recommend this place unless you find rude and bad service charming. Service was slow, just short of non-existence. The waitresses scowl at best and act like your patronage is a royal pain for them. I've never had a worse experience at a restaurant. I will never go back.
Scowling waitresses.
I know.
KDM. You'll cry about it.
Oh, wow. Another one star. Let me just scan it really slow. We waited for almost a half an hour before we get a hold of a menu, not to mention how rude the bartenders were. Sounds like the bartenders were pretty shitty back in 2010.
Like definitely.
But the place is nicely well decorated, relatively big, but seems to be difficult for the staff to handle a big crowd. Skip the waiting and go to the bowling alley. Way cooler anyway, and they have beer.
Was it a bowling alley right there?
I guess so, yeah.
Man, I want to hang out in Joshua Tree for a few days.
Another one, one star. My beloved Pappies and Harriets. Oh, how could you have done us so wrong?
Oh, please.
And then it is
Are
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven paragraphs.
Oh, God. Oh, we have here a little bit of this.
Really?
Take it easy. Let's not get emotional.
This is post-Paul McCartney, right?
You don't want to hear the next one that... Oh, no, this is from 2011. You don't want to hear the next one that has one star and starts with, fuck this place.
Well, I want to hear both now. Right. Pretty pumped.
All right, my beloved Pappy and Harriet's. Oh, how could you have done us so wrong? I've been a faithful fan of Pappy and Harriet's for about 20 years. I never wanted to tell folks about it, as it was so fabulous I didn't want the crowd to spoil it. The food has always been great, and the menu has showed some decline of late, but the food is always yummy. What are you, 5 years old? Yummy?
Yummy. God.
They have booked unique bands, and it has always been a delight, though somewhat quirky for my taste, but I've appreciated the diversity. I spent New Year's Eve here in the middle of the week, winter nights, all good and the best of P&H standards. But today... So it sounds like it went from five stars until today. After hiking at Joshua Tree, we rolled in around 5 p.m. Oh, baby! When did we become invisible to you? Become invisible to you? There was such a lengthy and obnoxious sound check by the band who was going on 3 hours later. It made our visit...
When would she like them to do sound check?
It made our visit the most painful and obnoxious experience I've ever had.
Because the band was in sound check?
A little more over the top. Really? You didn't notice those tables of 6 and 8 people? Each while we winced and held our ears?
Well, I think you should be sorry, for Christ's sake.
Come on, you baby. Winston held our ears.
I'm surprised people don't carry headphones around with them everywhere.
To the band that had a... This is fine. to the band who had such a strong need for attention. Dudes. It was restraints. Dudes, I've witnessed sound checks for major freaking bands and stadiums that didn't go on as long, nor were as loud. Hire some flipping professionals. Pappy is long gone, but I hope the management will get a clue and curtail this sort of disturbance. Oh, how was the food? Who knows? It was such an awful experience. Even if they have completed the meal, I wouldn't have justified that torture. Folks, avoid P&H on Sunday afternoons around 5 p.m. It's freaking misery.
Wow.
I just can't stop picturing these people. These six or eight people just holding their ears and wincing while the band plays. Imagine being in the band seeing these people.
Well, that's probably why they played louder and longer.
Well, yeah, for being such asses.
Oh, Pappy replied, hey, everyone, just wanted to let you all know that sound checks at P&H are very rare. Sunday afternoons at P&H are really fun and usually very peaceful. Families, friendly bikers, cowboys, all types of gathering around and have a great time. 98% of the time we have a band called the Pappy All-Stars. They go on at 7 p.m. The Sunday this patron was talking about was a special show with the North Mississippi All-Stars. Unfortunately, the band was stuck in traffic, and therefore their sound check had to happen at 5. We're sorry about that. So shut up, lady. Oh, my gosh. All right. And then the other one was the one star. Fuck this place.
What the fuck does that mean?
Their website states the closing times are 12 a.m. on weeknights. I called ahead to make reservations for two people at 10 p.m. and was just told to come on in. Surprise, surprise. Walked in at 10 o'clock to find the kitchen closed at 9:30. The only other options at that time were Denny's and Applebee's. They're closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, so I will not be able to eat here now. Fucking tools! God knows why they're closed those 2 days in the middle of the week. I'm just hoping Pappy and Harriet use those days to complete their GEDs by mail. Fuck you, P&H. 0 stars. They actually wrote 0 stars. They had to give it one.
So because they closed the kitchen at 9:30, they haven't finished high school, apparently. That makes a lot of sense.
The next one is about how rude the bartender is again.
Oh, man, I want to meet this bartender.
Another 1 star. I mean, this place has a ton of reviews.
The bartenders are just mean as hell, though.
Well,
aren't they the ones that withheld salad dressing?
Yeah, yeah, and didn't bother asking them how their food was.
Right.
Here's 1 star. Well, I've been here several times, but this review is strictly for last night. We went up to see Kenny Loggins perform with his new band.
I'm all right. Nobody worry about me.
I've got a new band. We're going to play all new songs. It was set up outside in the back. The venue is great. The problem was the sound. I heard they rented the equipment from somewhere. Well, it absolutely sucked. After 4 songs, fans were complaining, even yelling that we couldn't hear them sing, and the bass was way too loud. It was just awful, and none of the P&H staff did anything to try and rectify this situation. What do you want the waitress?
Oh, yeah, they're going to do sound for Kenny Loggins.
You want the waitress to go up and go, hey, Loggins, turn the bass down. A 10-minute break would have appreciated to see the staff could try and do something, but instead the band just kept playing and people started leaving. The hamburgers were ordered from the outside grill, and they were disgusting. The meat was warm to cold, and the buns were hard and cold. Gross! 1 star. Oh, there's a response from Pappy's. Uh-oh. Sorry, that had nothing to do with us.
Even the burgers?
That's all they wrote. Sorry, nothing to do with us. Wow.
Kenny Loggins, you know, the last 2 gigs we've heard about for Kenny Loggins have not gone too well. The one was they were playing in the guy's apartment, remember? Yes. He won the GoFundMe thing?
And you could get guacamole.
Kickstarter.
He's going to make guacamole.
Wasn't he raising money to get Kenny Loggins to play in his living room?
Yeah, 30 grand.
And he made it.
Yeah, he did it.
We never called him back either, did we?
No.
We tried. I still would like to call him back and find out how the Kenny Loggins gig went in his house. But then that and Pappy's not going well either with the bass cranking way too loud.
I know. That sucks, man. That seems to be a problem. It just gets loud. 1 star. I'm only reviewing the food here. If I were to review the bar, I'd give it 5 stars. It's a bar and live music venue. It's awesome. The food, well, however.
The mean bartender must not have been there.
Oh, you know what? This is 2014, and I was scrolling.
Oh, he's gone.
Down.
He's been fired.
Somebody else complained about the bartender, and there was a reply that said the person had been replaced.
Oh, Pappy's taking action. I like that.
You got to love this place. The food, however, is the worst ever. I've tried it several times to like it. Really? Nice learning curve. I've tried several times the leg of it, but we did find one edible thing so far called the bowl. The barbecue chicken was so dry, I actually choked on it.
Oh, my God.
The chips are hollow cardboard and the broccoli cold and soggy. Just don't eat there. Please get a new cook. Judy.
Wow.
They have a ton of one. I mean, this place has been around forever. Oh, here's another one that told them to go screw themselves. Good luck finding a cab home.
How do these guys stay in business? They got more angry customers. Damn.
Overall, they have 4.5 stars. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Man, they got a lot of ones.
Hey, you know, we do have the number for the guy that had Kenny Loggins in his living room.
Really?
Eric Sanchez. Yeah, let's call him.
Let's call him.
This is going back probably, what, a year and a half? We called him when he just raised the 30 grand, I think. And he was going to have Kenny. And then did I lose the job before he had the gig or something, maybe?
Lose the job you left.
Well, left, you know.
I don't know. I kind of want to see these other people's one stars. The one that said, go fuck yourself.
Voicemail.
DQ'd?
Voicemail.
Voicemail? Where's the Sanchez dude?
Apparently on the voicemail. Phone. Maybe he's on the phone.
I think we've called him a few times. I think that happens every time.
I'll keep trying him.
He's so busy bragging about having Kenny Loggins in his living room. His phone's never open.
His delicious guacamole.
I've got Today in Rock.
Cool.
Combining with all this excitement. Pappy and Harriet's. Is there another one star you want to read?
Well, the one who is the How Could You Do Us So Wrong, that one.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, when do we become invisible to you? They have another one here. Let's see. A pet boarding store. One star. If your dog's used to being an outdoor dog, this place is probably fine. So if it's cold or hot outside, that's what your dog's going to get. Doggy accommodations are a quasi-animal shelter. This place has done no improvements to the facility, and it shows.
Wait, what place is this?
Some place in California.
Oh, okay.
Another one star they gave, and they went on and on. We won't be going back to Paws Inn.
Paws Inn.
One star. I give them 2 stars for their sushi. Then let's deduct a star for giving me food poisoning. Not the sushi, but the udon with seafood. You know that awful feeling when you wake up in the middle of the night sick? This reviewer loves to ask questions in the review. I love it. I love it. I had a long time to appreciate the irony of paying more to be that sick. Really? I pay that much, much more to avoid the poison seafood. I've eaten here over the years, and I usually had the sushi. That's never made me ill. But 2 weeks ago when I got poisoned, I made the mistake of ordering something safe. Frozen seafood is hard to follow. Service at this place gets worse and worse. It seems like every time I'm there, a group of young men who wait tables are either eating or they're invisible. Nothing like your waiters eating. It's tough when you have to order every element while your waiter is walking away. When one orders iced tea, should you really have to say, and please bring me a straw, sugar, and something to stir it with? Another question inside their review. I kept joking that it's getting like a cheap... Wait, it was like getting a cheap HMO doctor who constantly had to have his hand on the doorknob trying to bolt as fast as possible. What a lousy joke.
I'm not sure it's the best analogy.
The best thing about the food poisoning at this place means I won't go back to suffer through such poor service.
So in other words, wow. If he hadn't gotten food poisoning, he would go back.
Yeah, for the poor service.
Okay.
He doesn't have too many one stars, so that was a really terrible night at the venue.
This guy describes, poisoning. I mean, he makes it sound like he was poisoned, like that Soviet guy was poisoned by Putin, you know?
Yeah.
I'm saying you were poisoned sounds like a little more than the bad stomach, you know?
Remember the guy that gave one star and wrote, fuck this place?
Yeah.
His next review right after that is for Soot Bull Jeep, a Korean barbecue place in L.A. One star. Fuck this place.
Oh, another fuck this place.
But in all caps this time. There are 2 types of review here. Good and bad. I'm deciding to go with bad. One important thing, you must order 2 dishes at dinner time. Huh?
Why? Well, the entree small?
What's wrong with ordering 2 dishes at dinner time? If you don't do this, you can't eat. So if you're like me and usually can't eat a whole gigantic dinner at once, you must go with a party of, I'd say, 3 or more to this place, unless you want to spend $25 and leave with a huge bag of food. I think his Korean barbecue is kind of like family dining in a way.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Parking sucks. Koreatown is not only known for barbecue, but chiefly for its terrible parking as well as shit drivers. Well, that's not this restaurant's fault. So get ready for a terrible parking experience to be set off with what could be a very frustrating evening at this dark, underpopulated, smoky, and disgusting place.
How strange, a restaurant that has only shitty drivers attending it. That's just a really strange demo. How do they manage that?
Man. Oh, this is, wow. I just love that F this place starts both of them.
I know, in caps, too. Today in rock, today is
he used it again.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Who's this now?
A place in Berlin, Germany. Seriously, there are so many food options in Berlin. Yes, even at night. So opt to go somewhere else, anywhere else. Cook your belt on the stove. Fuck this place. This place deserves a flaming brick through the front window. They basically robbed us. But making the robbery worse was the fact that we were treated like criminals by the staff.
Oh, wow.
Read here a short brief detail of how this place sucks. And then he goes on and on and on.
How did they treat them like criminals?
We finished eating. We noticed we've been billed for both chicken and tofu spring rolls. Not a lot of money. This place is cheap in more ways than one. But we mentioned to the waitress, she tells us that we ate the chicken spring roll because we ate the roll, we have to pay. Well, yeah, that's how it works.
Wait, but what's he saying? He didn't order it?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, they just throw stuff on the bill that you didn't even have?
They ordered
and say you ate it?
They ordered a spring roll, but they got one that came with chicken, and they didn't know until they bit into it.
That's kind of a pimp job. I agree with him.
I know, but he's whatever.
Fuck that place.
I'm going to pay you, but I shouldn't.
Wow, wasn't expecting a childish answer like that, so I simply asked to speak to the manager. A few minutes later, the manager comes out and says that we forgot our menus and to make them, we forged our menu, because you have to write your menu down yourself.
Oh, so he says they forged their menus.
Yeah, so the manager says that we forged our menus to make them look like liars so that we could get a free chicken roll. Double wow! Double wow. At this point, I just decided to leave. Because I can't take that it's a lose-lose situation, and my time is worth more than the price of talking to this half-assed manager. So basically, we were taken for €5 by this place, treated like total idiots by total idiots. This happened 3 weeks ago, but I still felt a burning desire to slam it on Yelp because it's my only civil way of retaliating to this fuckery.
You fucker!
I will not even mention the food because it isn't worth mentioning. The waitresses sit at tables eating and playing games on their cell phones. They wear micro mini skirts and have bad skin. At first, I thought possibly our waitress was a prostitute. So did my wife. It's for the transit restaurant.
Oh, man.
Germany.
Wow. Wonder what this guy was doing in Berlin.
I don't know. He's definitely from the L.A. area.
Do you have any other traveling experiences that he's complaining about? It's fuckery.
Well, I'm sorry to keep going, but this just kills me. One star for United Independent Taxi, which is a taxi service in L.A.
Taxi service.
Do you care to guess what the first line might be in his
Fuck
review?
This place.
Fuck this cab. Fuck United Independent Cab. Wow. Oh, man.
Oh, well, then you drive it to the wrong place.
Oh, wow. He wrote this review while using the cab.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I'll just.
Wow.
This would almost be good enough to write up for this janky cab company alone, but I may as well give some details as to why they are terrible. I live about a quarter of a mile away from their headquarters. Time is 5:30 a.m. Quote, "We'll be here in 5 to 10 minutes," says the tepid operator over the phone. "We'll call when we get near." 6:20 a.m. All I'm hearing is crickets. "Flight is boarding soon. I'm sweating. Thanks, United Independent Cab." Then he writes, "Edit post now with more bad news. So I'm still waiting. It's now 6:46 a.m. I've called the number 3 times now following up my cab, as well as calling Yellow Cab to get another taxi. But I'm still hoping this one will show. So late now, I actually run the risk of missing my flight. If the driver thinks he's getting a tip, he is so wrong." About 8 O's. "Kiss my Converse, United. I'm never using this service again. For the love of God, please don't use this company." Wow.
What cab did he take to the airport? We don't know the rest of the
story.
I
don't know. It just ended.
Oh, man. I'm bummed out.
I know.
Does this guy have, like, have anything other than a one-star fuck this review? Is there anything that makes him happy?
He does have some other one-star primetime shuttle, airport shuttles to L.A. First line, wow, fucking avoid. These people actually replied to him.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
What's he complaining about?
Oh, the same thing.
How can a shuttle be that bad?
I don't know. Guess the company's obsessed with filling as many orders as possible regardless of the customers or idle traffic's greater good. crime deserving the lowest Yelp rating. Too early. Pickup time stated 8:40 a.m. Delivering me 1.5 hours before my flight leaves. Driver's at my house at 8:20, demanding that he is on time. I tell him to come back in 15 minutes.
Where's he going to go?
And he strongly objects, stating pickup time is 8:30. Okay, that is false. It is 8:20 now, not 8:30, and 8:40 is the pickup time. Wait, why don't you just go early then, dude? I hang up on the asshole, only to rush my exit. Probably forgot one vital thing that I'll remember only on the flight. The asshole is sitting downstairs making 5 other people wait. Hit the streets, drives like a Russian sailor swears. Cut off a few cars, gets honked at, swerved in and out of lanes. All this for what? 3 hours early to my flight. So now I have to eat LAX food, drink LAX coffee, and put in 2 hours for no good reason.
Wait, hold on. The thing was 20 minutes early.
I know.
How can he be that far? How can he be that early?
Because he drove like a Russian sailor swears. He drove really fast. Cut the time down.
Wait, but you can only cut the time down. Think about it.
20 minutes early, he cut the time in half. And then he ended up getting in 3 hours early.
How far a drive is to the airport?
He said the plan was to leave at 8:40, which would get him there 1.5 hours before his flight leaves. But they left at 8:20. Well, he got there at 8:20. They probably left at 8:30, and he got there 3 hours early.
I smell bullshit.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Speaking of which,
I don't like the guy's reviews anyway.
Speaking of which, Mark, I think Mary Hart's taking a shit.
She's been gone?
She's been gone for a while.
Oh, wow. Maybe she's sick of Larry's stories. Larry's
taking a dump.
Larry's sinking lower and lower into his seat. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I see it now.
He's sitting very upright in the first inning. Now it's the top of the fourth, and he's about 2 feet lower.
That cocksucker gets the best seats.
That chair's going to end up folding Larry into it. Larry!
I don't have a doctor, Larry. You have a doctor, you have a doctor living at home? I don't have a doctor living at home.
Someone get Larry a doctor.
All right, are we ready for this day in rock?
Sure.
I think this guy's gotten enough time.
Yeah, no, I already closed. I couldn't be tempted by any other one-star review.
I know, it's tempting, I must say. 1956, on October the 18th, Elvis pulls into a Memphis gas station, drawing a huge crowd. Elvis begins signing autographs and hugging people. Anyway, the gas station owner is getting pissed, asking Elvis repeatedly to move along
because
he's losing business. When Elvis didn't move along fast enough, and he told him numerous times, he slaps the king of rock and roll. Yeah, 25-year-old Elvis. 22-year-old Elvis. And Elvis punches him, which brings another gas station employee out who proceeds to try to punch Elvis. Elvis punches him, too.
Did Elvis know karate at
No, that's exactly. I swear I was going to bring it up, Mark. If these guys, if they had known the Elvis that knows karate, they would have been in the hospital. They were both charged with assault.
Good. They should be.
Absolutely. 1969, Rod Stewart and Ron Wood join Faces.
Yeah. Awesome.
Which were formerly Small Faces with Steve Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Frampton was in that band for a short time, too. Or maybe that was... Yeah, yeah. They had left the Jeff Beck group, which was a great band, man, with Rod and Ron and Jeff Beck. And then Faces were great, though, man. I've heard more great stories about Faces in their live shows. In fact, I found something really cool on YouTube not too long ago.
What was so great about the live shows? I mean, were they nuts? Or were
they were sloppy and ragged, but good.
Okay.
I mean, it was kind of crazy. It sounded like the Replacements or something.
Okay.
And they were drunk as hell. They were drinking. They were a party band. In fact, they were that performance they had at Goose Lake, that big festival in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. They were there?
Yeah, they
played. I didn't know they were there. That's fun.
They were really one of the biggest bands there. But they had a legendary appearance at Goose Lake, and many... You know, I've heard Susan Whitehall talk about hanging out with them. They all partied with the journalists and stuff, all the rock journalists. I mean, they just really turned this town upside down when they were here the few
That's
times.
Cool.
And what, on YouTube, I saw a cool performance of them covering Maybe I'm Amazed.
Oh, wow.
I've never heard anyone sing that song except that Billy Joel version, which is really true to the original. But I thought Rod did a really good job on it. And Faces was a damn cool band. That Ian McClagan, the keyboard player, was so good. And I'm trying to think who else is in the band. Ronnie Lane, who died of, I think, MS.
Ooh.
They've had some tragedy, but damn, they were good. Yeah, Ian McClagan. Kenny Jones on the drums, who played with The Who afterwards.
They just got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame like in the last 4 years, didn't they?
Yes.
I remember. I vaguely remember.
I'm almost positive. God, they were a good band. Well, there it is. That's not Rod. Ian McClagan sings the open for some reason. I don't know why, but...
Huh.
This is when Rod was cool.
Yeah.
Still is, man. What are you talking about?
Sir Rod.
I think we can do without the standards.
He was knighted, remember?
This was before he got his stomach pumped of semen, too.
Was it the USC football team?
Yes. Remember when we asked his wife about that?
Yeah, Rachel Honor.
She totally knew about it.
Well, he knew about it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They sound kind of ragged here.
I like it.
Good ragged.
Live version? Where is this?
That's live.
Where are they?
Just AJ.
I don't hear a crowd or anything.
It's got 2 million views. I think it's on a TV show, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Kind of looks like it. You write me when I'm wrong. Baby, I'm amazed at the way I really need you. Where's Ron Wood, Jay? Do you even see him out there? Barely seen Ron Wood this whole thing. Is he playing organ? Mm. No way. He's gotta have a guitar somewhere on there. You know what amazes me is how young these bands were when they were really good. There he is. You really hear that bass guitar. That's Ronnie Wood. These guys are really getting down.
Baby, I'm a man, and baby, I'm a lonely man who's in the middle of
understand. In the middle of something. Baby, I'm a man.
Breaking news, Mary Hart back in her seat.
Yeah, but Larry's gone.
But Larry's completely folded into his chair now. Well, now I'm dying to see how long Larry King is gone from his chair.
He's definitely taking a dump.
Maybe it's past his bedtime.
How does he always get a front row seat?
Oh, this must be his tickets, right? Don't you think he just buys season
tickets? I guess so.
He's got plenty of money. Celebrity net worth for Larry King.
How many games could Larry King go to? I mean, that's... Because he still works, kind of.
Yeah, he does a talk show on Russian TV, and he does his...
On Russian TV.
Huh?
On Russian TV? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he does the talk shows picked up by that RT TV.
Why?
150.
150 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think he can afford.
Also on Today in Rock, Sweet hits the top 10 for the second time with Ballroom Blitz. God, I used to like that song. On this day in 1975, 1988, Traveling Wilburys released Volume 1. George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Roy Orbison, and Jeff Lynne. That was the great. Volume 1 was the killer Wilburys. The second one was good. But Volume 1, I think they sold 6 or 7 million of those. I mean, that was a hot album. 1989, GNR opening for the Stones. This is legendary. They got two dates with the Stones, who heard, this is cool young band. You know, they're really happening, GNR. And they asked them to open. Well, Guns N' Roses raised unholy hell.
I'm shocked.
And the Stones were like, we are never having these assholes back in. I mean, how bad do you have to be for the Stones to say they'll never have
you
again?
I couldn't see those two mixing well.
Yeah, I think the Stones are decent guys to work with, but... I mean, why would they put up with monkey business from the backup band, for Christ's sake? Mm-mm. And then at the show, this is funny because it's the first night, Axl announces that this may be the last GNR show because of some of the band members better get their shit together. So the Stones are going, wait, the last show? Aren't they opening for us tomorrow night? 2005, there's a list made of the top U.S. magazine covers in the last 40 years.
Any magazine?
Any magazine.
Oh, huh.
And the number one, well, considered the best cover of all, is the naked John Lennon coiled around Yoko. That was the cover of Rolling Stone when he died.
That's number one.
Annie Leibovitz, that was number one. That's stupid list. Okay. Whatever. 2007, Amy Winehouse and husband Blake Fielder Civil arrested for cannabis in Norway.
Oh, wow.
Which was just, I mean, you could find that almost any day. That, did you see the documentary? The
Loved
Amy Winehouse
it.
Documentary?
Loved
I thought it.
It
was really good.
Yeah, I really like her anyway.
Oh, great. Yeah, great singer.
So good.
Great, great singer. No,
those guys that did that documentary are doing the Oasis documentary, which is out soon.
Which looks phenomenal.
Yeah, actually, it's not as much on Oasis as it seems to be on Liam and Noel.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You know what I bumped into, by the way, today? I was looking for a good documentary to watch, and there's so many on my on-demand. Mm. I bumped into that.
My on-demand.
Yes, My On Demand has quite a selection. They know how many documentaries I watch, so they stock. They really stack mine. I ran into that Magic Trip one again of the Merry Pranksters.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't resist watching a little more of it. That is so fucking good.
See that.
It is such a time capsule, too.
Larry King is back in his seat.
Already?
Yeah, that was a quick trip. I was looking at his tweets, by the way, and his most recent tweet from 2 hours ago, so this must have been pretty much before the game began, was... Cannot wait to see the new Jack Reacher around film. I love Tom Cruise in this part.
Oh, God. He's got to be the only person who would tweet something nice about Tom Cruise in that stupid movie.
Cannot wait to see the new Jack Reacher film.
2008, Adele was a musical guest on Saturday Night Live in what would be the biggest audience they'd had since 1994. 17 million viewers watch SNL.
Really? What year?
2008, the reason for the large crowd watching SNL. Well, Adele was a musical guest, and the it was also the same night as Sarah Palin's appearance.
Blah.
I know, stupid. Chuck Berry is 90 today.
It's Chuck Berry.
Chuck of the Great Videotape. And also, Joe Egan is 67. Who's Joe Egan?
Who's Joe Egan?
Joe Egan is one of the two guys that made up Steeler's Wheel.
Who did Stuck in the Middle with You.
Which everybody, don't they think of Reservoir Dogs now?
Of course, yeah. But you know, that's... Thank you, Chuck.
Just want to get that out of the way, sorry.
You can smell my... Pew! God, that's such an amazing blast.
I fuck scare you.
If you've never heard that for some reason, you knew the podcast or you didn't listen to the old radio show, that's Chuck on a videotape of Chuck Berry with a white prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And she's servicing him in a way that most men would really be happy about. And he farts. He blasts that thing right when she's down there. And she actually, she pretty much blasted out of the area.
But then he had the other one.
The little farts,
like,
yeah.
Poof, and she went, boop, ah!
Yeah, she really flinched.
She got smacked in the face by a fart.
Ah! You mean it didn't go?
Yeah,
no, it was not one of those. It was just a boop.
Chuck Berry has never had a fart.
No, he waits till he can blast away. This song's one of the biggest hits that was not a big hit.
Cool song, like, though.
Time made it a big hit for some reason. I mean, it was a hit. I remember it being on the radio. Got a really weird story about millennials.
Melania Trump?
A couple really weird stories about millennials. Actually.
As if there's another Melania.
Millennials.
Oh, millennials. I thought you said millennial.
Melania. Not Sorry. Melania. Whatever her name. What's her name? I had a stroke today.
Melanoma?
Melanoma. It's a weird name. What's that skin condition called? Melania?
Melania, yes.
There you go. See, I'm starting to get it together. Millennials back Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump by more than 3-1. But enthusiasm about voting is very low. And the fear is that millennials will not vote. Trump supporters say their main reason for voting is to keep Clinton out of the White House. Millennial Clinton supporters, in equal numbers, say their main reason for backing her is to keep Trump
out of
the
White
House.
House.
I'm very afraid for our country, said Richard Devine, 20, a freelance media producer from Bath in upstate New York. The campaign has been really annoying, says Natalie Harris.
That is the most perfect millennial comment.
I think it's an almost anyone comment, isn't it?
Yeah. Mom, can you stop this election? It's really annoying.
Mom! This campaign has been really annoying.
Mom, I don't know. Mom, will you vote for me?
Natalie Harris, 29, an occupational therapist from Melbourne, Florida, and a Trump supporter. It's kind of like fighting. It's kind of like fighting with your brother or your sister, but dirtier.
What?
That's a weird thing to say.
Why would it be like brother? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I guess fighting with her brother is annoying. Here's a weird story about millennials. Who would you think? What race would be the number one user of digital media and social media?
What, like race, ethnicity?
Yeah.
Percentage, like percentage
yeah,
of
percentage,
that?
Percentage of. 94% in this case.
African American.
Negative.
White?
Asians.
No.
I know. It's one of those.
Sorry.
Okay, number two. That's the real question. Is who's second? Ignore number one. Who's second?
African Americans.
African Americans. This surprised the surveyors.
Really?
Yeah. Black millennials are closing the digital divide with their avid use of mobile technology.
They clearly aren't on Twitter.
Their engagement on social media also tops the charts, especially in raising awareness of issues in the black community, according to the report.
Yeah.
Young and connected in black. African-American millennials are driving social change and leading digital advancement. We've entered a new era where technology has become a great equalizer. Black millennials are leading the way in their use of technology to impact change and get their votes heard. Among smartphone owners, African Americans are second to Asian Americans. 91% of African Americans own a smartphone.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Okay.
They, of course, referenced the poverty rates in the African American community are by far ahead of any other group, and yet they own the most smartphones, or the second most smartphones,
that's
behind Asians. Yeah, very interesting.
I don't know what it means. I mean, what does it mean?
Oh, it's a high priority. It means they're connected.
Yeah.
And they really are suggesting that it has to do with things going on, social change, and you know, like Black Lives Matter, things like that. That's keeping the black community connected to each other.
And the evil's black.
Keeping people informed.
Thank you. What, is there more millennial info?
What do you mean by more info?
Those are some interesting millennial facts. I don't know. I find
yeah,
them fascinating.
Yeah, no, that's...
I find those people fascinating.
Those are... That's pretty much the fine points. Actually, it's funny. I was looking for more, too. And then, God, this story is bizarre. I'm reading from USA Today. The headline is, Japanese work themselves to death. Literally. Listen to this. Matsuri Takahashi was 24 years old when she leaped to her death from her company dormitory on Christmas Day last year.
Wait, Japanese? Because that's usually a Chinese thing from Foxconn, right? The people that make all the Apple things. Yeah. They're the ones that put up the net.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Unbelievable. Tokyo Labor Bureau investigators ruled her suicide karoshi, death by overwork.
Wow, that's a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. And it really is a thing.
Huh.
Takahashi has been required to work 100 hours or more of overtime per month.
Okay.
Overtime. Per month. That's 25 hours a week of overtime.
Wow.
For months on end at the prominent Dentsu advertising agency. She often got as little as 2 hours a night of sleep, 2 hours of sleep a night, rarely had a day off. Well, she was working on Christmas when she killed herself, and was ordered by supervisors to report fewer hours than she actually worked. What bullshit.
That's incredible bullshit.
I know. Why didn't she quit? Because you can't quit. I guess, isn't that the culture over there? You don't quit?
Yeah, well, is it rude to do that? Or?
No, it's failure. It's acknowledging failure.
Man. I wonder if, I don't know how litigious of a country it is, but wouldn't you think the family could sue?
I don't know how litigious.
Wrongful
that's a good
death?
Question. Oh, yeah, now. I don't know. You know, there might be shame.
Well, you know, how much not shame can you
not bring
suffer?
Attention to
your
this
child
shame.
Is dead.
They're, you know, that culture is very work-oriented. But they're becoming, finally, they're becoming aware that you can work too much. That's why that term has come up. And there's a number of, let's see, I forgot what the number was. It was a significant number of people they categorized as being part of karoshi, or death by overwork. employees at nearly 1 in 4 companies are at risk of dying from working too many hours.
Wow.
Labor Ministry inspectors swooped down on Dentsu's headquarters in Tokyo and other sites, searching for evidence of systematic overtime abuse and other labor violations. This is not the first case at Dentsu. In 1991, the suicide of a 24-year-old worker was among the first to focus national attention on the problem of karoshi.
Finally, a cause of death I'm not at risk for.
The Labor Ministry report about 100 suicides per year to karoshi, a number Yashiro said represents just the tip of the iceberg. And they also said that last month they found employees at 23% of Japanese companies worked 80 hours or more of overtime per month.
Wow. That's incredible.
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Do you want to hear the
bullshit?
Do you want to hear the saddest news of the day? I cannot believe I waited to almost the end of part two to bring this up.
What is it?
And big thanks to Ken McDonald for pointing this out to us. The Arena Football League's LA Kiss, faced with dwindling attendance and concerns about the league's viability, has ceased operations. Our favorite football team is no longer existed. Quote, as I understand, the Kiss won't be involved with any football moving forward, AFL Players Union Executive Director Yvonne Soto wrote in an email Monday. The LA Kiss, named after Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band led by co-owners Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley, became the third AFL team to fold and the fifth to leave the league over the past week.
Oh.
Wow. That's amazing considering how involved Gene and Paul were.
I know. They're so knowledgeable about football, too. They really knew the game of football.
Gene really liked the cheerleaders, as I recall.
Yeah,
remember?
He did. Oh, yeah.
Well,
they bought this football team, and they thought that Bringing the Kiss brand to football is a winner. Combining Kiss with football and our brand should make this team a winner.
Football. They didn't realize it wasn't the NFL.
Oh, I know. They were so.
AFL.
Oh, my God. And that league is so small that I remember the team was like 2-14, and if they won the game, they would make the playoffs.
That's right, yes. Remember the coach pisses victories? Coach yeah. Bob?
That's what he said when he was interviewed. He pisses victories.
What?
That's why they didn't win any games. He pisses them all.
Piss victories and a shit losses. What? Here's another great part of the story. KISS players and season ticket holders remain completely in the dark. No official announcement about the team's status has been made by the team or the league. Calls made to KISS officials over several days were not returned. When pressed about the future of KISS, a spokesperson for the league referred only to a recent release that said the AFL was focused on solidifying its foundation for the long term. That future apparently won't include the KISS. The team's players, along with those from the other two folding franchises, were put in a player pool for dispersal draft.
Oh,
that's
no.
a bummer. The dispersal draft was news to Caesar Rayford, a defensive end who joined the KISS before last season. Oh, wow.
So what are Gene and Paul? I mean, do they just lose their ass?
I know. I'm trying to find some comment from them. Meanwhile, many fans have already renewed season tickets for the 2017 season, which was expected to start in the spring. Gerald Brady, age 80, from Seal Beach, spent $1,000 in July to renew
what,
his season.
An 80-year-old had season tickets to the LA KISS? We appeal to a lot of older football fans who just love the KISS brand.
He spent $1,000 to renew his season tickets?
Loves the KISS brand. What can I say?
He's had them since the team's inaugural season. Last week, he started hearing rumblings that the KISS may fold and left several messages with the team's ticket office. None have been returned. Other fans have taken to the team's Facebook page to air their concerns. I would think we'd get refunds, Brady said, but I guess you never know.
Yeah, you can kiss that money goodbye, old man.
The team's formation was announced to much fanfare in August of 2013. I'm kind of bummed that the LA KISS lasted longer than Detroit Sports 105.1.
Oh, it did,
didn't
it? They
started in the same month, August 2013.
But they were only really alive for part of the year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Gene and Paul were in better management.
What would Gene say to this? It's a good day to be above ground.
Attendance dropped sharply in the second season to an average of... What do you think their average attendance was, by the way?
We averaged about... I think with the complete tickets, the fans that did show up at purchase tickets, it's probably around 20,000 per game.
7,900. That was down from 10,900 that KISS averaged in 2014.
We do more for that one night. For a concert.
The team drew an average of 7,000 this past season, next to last in the league.
Ooh! We do more than 7,000 for an unplugged gig. Shameful.
Remember, didn't they do...
Terrible management.
Didn't they do a concert, but if you bought to get tickets to the KISS concert, you had to buy season tickets to the
yes,
LA KISS
yes, they
football
did.
Team?
Oh!
We have got to find Gerald Brady.
That's 80. Branding. That's just branding. The KISS logo on the helmet is going to draw fans...
First comment on their Facebook page. So now that they folded, are they going to get rid of their jerseys? What?
Huh?
And this guy wrote, I don't care. I'm throwing mine away.
Oh. Oh, he bought a KISS jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, God, how stupid. Oh, my God. I bet a lot of KISS fans bought the team shit just because it's part of their KISS crap collection.
Wow.
They should have started a panty room instead.
Yeah, like KISS.
Panty room's not trendy.
This guy wrote, Who's going to start the class action if we don't get refunded? So far, the LA KISS have charged my credit card $1,100. First comment underneath it, Gene and Paul are not going to stiff you. They aren't like that. How do you know? Yeah, Gene and Paul
money. I would never stiff a card-carrying member of the KISS Army. That, I promise you.
Oh, the LA KISS, man. They were such a great team.
There's a number of panties from the cheerleading squad in my panty room, I'm very proud to say.
You said he's 80?
Yeah, I'm
he's
sorry.
He's only 10 years older than Gene.
Gerald Brady, 80.
Right? How old is Gene?
Seal Beach.
We got him here.
Do we have time or do you want to save it for tomorrow, Drew? Your call.
Oh, you got his number? Yeah. The guy that has the KISS season tickets?
Yeah. Hopefully. Spent $1,000 on it.
I think he should be called immediately.
And if he doesn't answer, I'll Facebook this other dude. And we could call him later.
Yes.
I'm more intrigued to find out, like, why.
Why they're... Well, obviously they're losing their ass.
No, why he bought season tickets.
He's a fan of the brand. He loves the band. He loves seeing the logo on the helmet. He loves knowing we're in the owner's box.
Hello?
What's his name? Oh, Gerald. Gerald.
Yes.
Hi, this is Drew and Mark. We're calling from our broadcast in Michigan, and we were talking about the L.A. Kiss, and we understand you were a season ticket holder?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have a minute to talk to us?
Sure.
Oh, great. You had purchased season tickets for this upcoming season, correct?
That's correct.
Now, had you been to a lot of games in the past?
I've been to every game.
No kidding. And what was it that brought you to be such a fan of the L.A. Kiss? Were you a big fan of the band?
No. I'm a big fan of arena football. I was a season ticket holder for 9 years with the Los Angeles Avengers.
Okay. Hmm. So now, were you a fan of arena football because NFL football was away from the area for so long, or were you just...
No, not really. I just am a big fan of the arena game because it's a lot... it seems like there's action on every...
That's true.
Faster pace.
Yeah, there is. What did you think of the ownership, Gene Stanley and... Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
My partner had a stroke today, so don't mind him.
A little off.
Okay.
Did you like the ownership? Do you think they did a good job?
I did not feel that they were nearly as effective as Casey Wasserman was with the L.A. Avengers.
Well, wasn't Wasserman part of this in the beginning? I thought I saw him on the TV show.
He was the owner of the L.A. Avengers, who played at Staples Center for 9 years.
Huh? Did you watch the TV show about the L.A. Kiss? By the way,
I saw a couple of pieces of it. Yes,
we were a little surprised. It didn't seem that the Kiss band members knew much about the game of football.
Well, I think they were fans, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I think the branding was a big part of it. But no. The combination of the band and football, I just didn't quite get. I didn't make the connection there. I thought it was really just...
No, I didn't either. And I think that probably half of the fans were band fans and not necessarily football fans.
Huh.
Now, Coach Bob, who literally pissed victories, as he said, started off with a pretty poor record and then left. Do you put a lot of blame on him for not getting the team on the right footing, Coach Bob?
Well, no, because I think in their first season they didn't have much of a choice as far as players were concerned. You know, mm-hmm. I mean they were formed sort of late, and from what I understand, and they had to take whatever was available. You know, so
now it's interesting though. The story that we read said that you heard rumblings, right, and you contacted the ticket office like crazy, and you've got no response on your deposit.
That is correct.
Wow. Have you tried to contact either the band Kiss in some way? I mean, that might be a way to get around.
No, I haven't. And I'm just figuring that this whole thing with the league probably going down the tubes happened so fast that it's going to take them a little while to sort things through. I'm assuming I'm going to get a refund. I
would imagine so. Yeah, being on a fixed income, I'm sure it's important to get your money back. Right.
Now, are you going to take that refund and buy tickets to go see the Rams?
Probably not till they get in their new stadium.
Oh, well, what are you stadium snob, Gerald?
Well, I just don't want to go to the Coliseum with no shade and 90,000 people there.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Now, what about the fans at the LA Kiss games? We just watched a TV show. They seemed to focus on a lot of people who had Kiss tattoos, and it did seem like there was a lot of connection to the band with the fan base. Was that true?
That is true, yeah. Yeah, probably half of them were band fans, and the other half were football fans.
Did the band play ever at halftime or anything?
They did. They had a concert for season ticket holders at the end of their first season.
How much did you sell your tickets for?
Well, no, I actually went to it.
Really, Gerald?
Because my daughter wanted to go.
Oh, okay.
And I actually made it through 20 minutes of it before I left.
So how old's your daughter? That's so adorable because you're older. You're 80. How old's your daughter?
I'm 80. Well, she's in her 50s.
That's cute. You took your 50-year-old daughter to a concert. It's just funny.
Did she like the show?
I guess a little.
Oh, Gerald didn't care. Gerald was miserable.
She's not a card-carrying member of the Kiss Army, I take it.
No. Oh,
okay. Now, did she, to make up for you taking her, did she ever go to a football game with you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. She went to several. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, you were serious.
Did she ever see Gene and Paul in the stands?
Yeah, they were there for probably about half the games when they weren't touring or whatever.
They showed them in the front row and sitting in the stands, which is unusual. Yeah. Usually they'd be in the owner's box.
I just wondered how approachable they were.
Not too. I my first season, I spent like $5,000 on seats because we were in the front row.
Oh.
And then I got out of there because
you spent $5,000.
Players came over the rail and
whoa.
Wow. Well, that's why you buy. That's why you want those seats.
Yeah, that's why I don't want them.
Oh,
did you get hurt?
I moved to safer seats after that.
Okay, you weren't injured or anything, were you?
Yeah, I got hit on the hand once. Ooh. They took me to emergency right at the arena, and then I got hit on the knee the other time. I had was black and blue. I got helmeted both
times.
Did
you sue Gene and Paul?
My God.
No.
Did it look like seem like a targeting kind of thing? Were they targeting fans?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it was just the nature of the game.
Wow, that's intense. Did you know that risk going in, but it turned out to be a bigger risk than you thought?
Yeah, I think so. Because I've seen them go over the rail in the past, and they do occasionally make contact with the fans. But I just decided I didn't want any more of it.
If you were a younger man, would you just spit on it and keep the seats?
Probably.
No, that's cool. Wow, that's intense, because I wouldn't have thought it would be that. Yeah, but they do. In that game, they do go over. That's unusual. Well, wow, it's interesting. We just wondered what the situation was, if you had been reimbursed since this story came out, but apparently not. But I'm sure you'll probably be okay. Those guys, I mean, they certainly have the money to reimburse people, and they are banned fans.
Yeah, I would think so. And I wouldn't think they would want to besmirch their reputation. So, I'm assuming
brand.
That I probably.
Yeah, the brand's important. If anybody asks you in the future, you should say you're a fan of the band. I would think it improves your position.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Gerald. Appreciate your time. Good luck with it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's so funny to think these people are actual arena football fans.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he's like, if another team comes, he will be he's 80. He's fucking 80. Going to LA Kiss games in the front row.
Yeah,
this guy piles
paced,
over
man.
And busts up his knee, and he still keeps the seats.
It's a faster-paced game.
He knew the risks. That's I mean, funny. After the first injury, he was still in those seats.
He won't go to a Rams game because there's no shade.
He paid $5,000 for front row seats.
You know, he's 80. He's got money.
He's all in on arena football. I mean, I didn't
know anybody
think
was.
There are those people.
Wow.
That is intense,
sounds
man.
Like those days are dwindling, man.
Yep, I believe so. And actually, our time is dwindling. It's 22 minutes beyond part two's end time, alleged end time.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we should. We went way over last night, so I think we should try to keep it to 22 minutes over. Save some material for tomorrow. We're supposed to get Maz today or tomorrow. Maz is too busy to come on the podcast.
Did he give you a reason as
no.
to why he was so busy?
No, he said next week. But, I mean, he's unemployed, right?
Yeah. Oh, as far as I know.
He loves the podcast. He wants to be on as much as possible. But he can't come on for 2 days.
You know what to do? Drew, tell him that's okay. We don't, you turn down the day. We'll get you at another later date. It'll destroy him.
Well, I think you shook him with the Bozo news.
Oh, but he didn't. He doesn't know.
And there's a lot of timely stuff to talk to Maz about now, between the Bozo news and also the missed countdown at the marathon.
I asked him to go.
Maybe he's backing off because he knows the marathon's going to come up. He thinks it'll go away by next week.
Yeah, because he knows us. We'll probably forget, right?
No.
Of course
we will
not
forget
about that.
I think we're going to get Elric next week. He's got a big story on Tuesday, and I'd asked him to come sometime in the near future. And he was excited to maybe promote his item on Fox 2. I mean, not for the whole podcast, but just wanted to get that in. He's real excited about his piece. So we're going to get him hopefully Monday or Tuesday. Looks like no Maz this week. We'll get to Maz next week. Trudy is Thursday. Charlie is back.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, Charlie will be here Friday, I believe, unless he kidnaps someone and is unable to show up. Or something wrong with the house injures him in some way and he's unable to perform by the time he gets to the basement. Or there's no escort available.
He'll fall down the stairs.
Ed Grabow sent me a PPO for Charlie.
I saw that. That's great.
Yeah.
That's funny. How can we go this far and not talk about the Price is Right? No,
Oh, did they make the biggest deal out of that today? I mean, honest to God, I thought the president was shot or something. The news was so huge.
Because there was a three-way tie on the Price is Right wheel.
Yeah, three people landed on a full dollar, like 65 cents and 35 cents, 75 cents and 20. I mean, that's not the most incredible thing that could possibly ever happen. It certainly is unusual.
It's ridiculous how excited Good Morning America was about it.
The Today Show was pretty pumped about it, too. But not like GMA. GMA just went apeshit. Yeah. You'd think it was their network.
That's so stupid.
You know, I was trying to think of, did you notice, did the Today Show reference Billy Bush being fired? Yeah. I mean, GMA. Did GMA reference
it?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. Well, they only referenced it on the crawl. You know, they have the news crawl.
Okay.
So they never really did the story.
It's funny. I thought they would not. Well, they didn't reference it on the show. That's interesting because that was pretty big news.
Well, it's part of the election.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's an extension of.
But it's interesting that the competition is so intense that they would actually ignore actual news just because of their competition with the Today Show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of lame, if you ask me.
Very.
Because what's the big deal? Who gives a shit? It's not like you're going to flip over to the Today Show.
Well, you might, if you want to hear what they're saying about it.
But you know they're not going to say anything.
I just think if you watch one, you watch one, right?
Yeah, no, that's really what I'm saying. And also, I would never expect the Today Show to say a lot about it. They weren't going to say much.
No, they were very kind of condescending in their comments.
Yeah, I thought it was really bitchy. I mean, they really treated it like he really did something horrible. And the comment about the 9 weeks he spent here, you know, Kathy Lee and Hoda comments were the most annoying because we knew that Kathy Lee and Hoda, I guess, had in some sort of combined missive, mm-hmm. had said something to the effect that they would not even take the handoff of the show from Billy Bush. They were so upset. And these producers who would refuse to work with him in the future, I mean, they really understand the business, don't they?
Yeah, right.
I so hope they ratings just dump because they can't get good guests because people start confronting everyone that comes on the show.
Well, Billy wins, man. He walks away with $10 million, so cool.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, he should be able to land something.
His
by Q the time
ratings to the roof right now.
Too. I know. I wonder how damaged he is, though.
Oh, come on. Someone will hire him, right?
I think so. I just don't know if it's going to be the kind of job he's used to getting.
E. He'll be on E.
You think so?
When you see Billy Bush on E News.
Oh, Channel E.
Yeah.
But that's a big come down. That would be a disaster career-wise.
He's got $10 million.
Yeah, but his career means more to him than the money right up front. I mean, that guy's got to be thinking, you know, he's been on the Today Show. He was on... he's been in a lot of good shows. He's had major exposure. And I think he's moving definitely down a rung or two.
He'll do morning radio. That's where he started. He started in radio.
I think he'll kill himself before. What did he do on radio?
I think he started with an afternoon show and then moved to mornings.
In Los Angeles?
No, because he's from the East Coast, I believe. I think D.C. might have been his first job.
Really?
Big job, yeah.
I have to know this. So he started out like us, except he started in some just grand like position us. Because he's a Bush family member, I think.
Oh, I would totally agree with that because he jumped to D.C. pretty
quick. Wait a second. He started his career hosting the afternoon drive show on KLKZ in Wolfsboro, New Hampshire.
Which is where he was going to school, wasn't it?
Yes. Later moving to Washington, D.C., where he hosted the midday show on ARWFM in March 97. He joined WWZZFM in D.C. as host of Billy Bush and the Bush League Morning Show, which aired until January 2001. Okay, so he went from New Hampshire to the number 8 market in the country. That doesn't happen.
Because his name is Billy Bush?
Yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little privilege there.
Although 97, well, no, I mean, still his uncle, right? It would be the first Bush.
I mean, I would say there's a point at which he earned his keep. I mean, he did his job.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty big jump. I think he definitely... He didn't... let's see, 2001. Yes, his uncle was president when he moved to... Well, when he was the morning show.
I can't believe Billy Bush and the Bush League morning show only lasted for 4 years.
Is that when he moved to TV?
WWZZ. No, because it says his first TV gig was 2 years after that. So there's a gap. Excuse me, Mr. Bush, can you explain the gap in your resume?
Oh, could it be that he was blown out? Billy Bush, the Bush, the Bush was blown out.
Joined Access Hollywood in December of 2001. So that would have been 11 months after his radio show ended.
I wonder if he wasn't blown out of a radio show. Because it doesn't matter what your name is. If you're in market number 8 and you're not cutting it, they don't care what your name is.
No, not at all.
Not one bit. So I suspect there were some ratings issues. Just my suspicion.
Trying to see if there's a format change.
Well, you might say that. But a format change could still keep the Billy Bush Bush League Morning Show.
Z104, it's one of the best air talent in the country, including Lisa Berrigan, Matt Reed, Matthew Blades, JoJo Morales, and Sean Sellers. Never heard of any of these people. That's funny. On this Wikipedia page for that station, there's no mention of Billy Bush in the Bush League Morning Show.
I don't know any of those names. I think of DC, I think of Howard Stern, Grease Man.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike was a big show for a long time. They were in the afternoon, too, which is weird. But they moved to mornings, and I think they moved back to afternoons. And then I think Mike disappeared, and Don Geronimo is on his own.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's doing sports radio somewhere.
I like that show.
Yeah, I thought they were really good. It was funny how many people mistook us for them.
I know. Well, understandably.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of who was the one person. Oh, Stan Johnson. Didn't Stan Johnson usually reference them? Because Swan used to say, I used to think you guys were Don and Mike.
Well,
Don
locally,
and Mike used to call him.
Remember, locally, they were on for like a second.
They were?
Market. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Remember 97.1 had Dahl on?
Yes.
That was the same time, because he was 3-7. I think Don and Mike were on before Dahl.
Oh, I didn't. God, I've forgotten about that.
I'm almost
positive. It must have been brief as hell.
That would have been 97.1, right?
Yeah.
So that would have been late 90s, maybe 98, 99 when those guys were on. And they were pretty good then. They were all right.
I just don't remember them on 97.1 at all. That's funny. They must have been brief.
Very.
All right.
Oh, my God. Do you ever stop talking?
Yeah, I'm ready to stop talking. We're done. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. Tomorrow night is debate talk.
Oh.
We'll be on late, I suspect. Maybe we'll just bring up the debate live for the last 20 minutes or so, or half hour. And comment over it.
I can't wait.
Maybe Bob Hope could jump in there. Some commentary.
I can't wait to see Barack Obama's half-brother.
That's good. You know, there's going to be some fireworks. It's definitely, this debate could be the craziest.
He's going down guns a-blazing, man.
Oh, no doubt. No, it's going to be, I don't know how you couldn't watch this, honestly. At least the first half hour.
Who's moderating?
Chris Wallace.
Oh, really?
Yeah, by himself.
Well, he's pretty good.
Yeah, Trump will just, he'll walk over anyone. He doesn't care who it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's all right.
Yeah, he's okay.
he might attack him for the whole rigged thing, don't you think?
I don't know if he's the right guy to attack, but I don't think Trump really cares.
No. Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
No, there could be some very interesting. But the thing is, Hillary, you know, she won't even answer anything good he comes up with. She'll just say, when he goes high, he goes high. Mm-hmm. You know, even when he said she'll raise the hell out of taxes, she didn't even respond to that.
No. They never do. Either side.
Dodgers are beating the Cubs now, I think, 4-0.
Well, someone just did a home run.
Yeah, Justin Turner.
Oh, that's what you get when you put a Wolverine on the mound.
Oh, God.
What?
Wow. That is a long story, but quite well told.
How do we deprogram this
man? Why can't I be proud of a former Michigan athlete pitching in the NLDS?
Why is it if any remotely positive thought comes to you about your university, you have to spit it out? You have no filter whatsoever.
Who would think?
It has nothing to do with me. You can't help it.
Who would think Rich Hill would be beating Jake Arrieta? Oh, there's Magic. Did you see Magic on there?
Yeah. Jake Arrieta has not been as good this year as he was last year.
ERA's
over 3.
Some more Pilates. He's getting yanked right now. Go shave your beard.
This is really not going to be good for Cubs fans. I'm telling you, there's a lot of panicky people. I'm a little panicked right now.
Bottom of the sixth, they'll be fine.
I don't think so.
Let's go while we're young.
We're out of here. See you tomorrow for the
debate. I'll be there in 4 or 5 hours.
Adios.